and looking at different aspects of prayer. So Psalm 66, and we're going to look specifically at verse number 18. I really believe that many of our problems are a result or could be mitigated very quickly if we would just learn to pray and pray as God would have us to pray. Indeed, the Bible is full of stories of men and women who prayed and God blessed them. In Psalm 66 in verse number 18, David is writing here, of course the sweet psalmist of Israel, writes here, and he's talking to God and declaring God's great works, His benefits. And he makes this interesting statement in verse number 18. It's like David is talking to himself here. And David says this. He says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." This morning I want to look at some problems of prayer. We looked at a pattern of prayer last week. We looked at the Lord's Prayer and how it has been set forth as a pattern for us. This week we're going to look at the problems of prayer. Indeed, I think all of us this morning would have to say and admit, say, "Pastor, I believe prayer, through prayer, we can accomplish great things by God's grace." And really, in truth, there is no limit, Elizabeth, to the power of prayer. Is there any limit? The Bible tells us that with God, what? Nothing shall be impossible. God says, "Hey, try me. Nothing for me is impossible." If there were something that was impossible, some mountain that could not be moved, then He would not be God. God says, "For me, nothing shall be impossible." In truth, the problem is that, yes, prayer itself is unlimited in what it can do. However, we can limit the power of our prayers. It can be severely hindered. We can render our prayers totally ineffective. I love James 5 and verse 16 when you think of the promises of prayer. In James 5 and verse 16, the Bible says this. It says, "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." And then it goes on to talk about Elijah. And Elijah was a man who prayed, and God, because of Elijah's prayer, refused to send rain upon the earth for 3.5 years. Indeed, tonight, or this morning, I want to take some time to point out attitudes and activities that can and do present problems in our prayer life. These things are things we've got to be on guard for. I hope this morning that after the last 3 weeks that you might say, "You know, Pastor, I really have been challenged to have a better prayer life. I've been challenged to see God answer my prayers." You know, we live, where it was cried in the Old Testament, "Where are all the miracles? Is it that God's hand is shortened that it cannot save? Is God weak now? Is he unable to work as he did in the old days of old?" No. In fact, God is the same. He is the same yesterday, Elizabeth, today, and forever. He never changes. The problem is that I believe that we have grown lax as believers in this area of prayer. And a lot of times we just don't pray. But sometimes we do pray, and we find that our prayers are ineffective. They're hindered because of a few things. So this morning I want to talk about the problems of prayer. Let's take a moment and pray, and let's ask God to bless this time. Father, thank you for bringing us together. Thank you for those that could make it this morning. I pray you bless them for being here. And I ask, Lord, that as we study your word together, that we might take from it and allow your Holy Spirit to work in our hearts. And that, Lord, this might truly be a time of worship where we earnestly just desire to glorify you because you are God and you are wonderful. And Lord, thank you for being our God, for saving us from sin. Now bless us as we take this time together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, in looking at these problems of prayer, the first thing I want to look at this morning is number one, selfishness. Go, if you would, We're going to go back to Psalm 66. We're going to look more topically this morning in considering what the Bible has to say of our hindrances to prayer. Go to James chapter 4 and verse number 3. James chapter 4 and verse number 3. Indeed, one of the greatest problems of prayer is selfishness. We find our prayers hindered because in our hearts we are selfish. In James 4 and verse 3, well, actually the whole passage there in James chapter 4, at least the first part of it, the writer here says, he says, "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lust that war in your members?" James is saying, hey, you know why there's dissension, why there's contention among you, why there's wars among you as believers? It's because your flesh, your own lust, your fleshly desires. Verse 2, he says, "Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot attain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not." James here says you're all over the place. You're trying your best in your flesh to accomplish all these things, but it doesn't happen. Why? Because these things can only come by the power and by prayer. And then in verse 3, our verse that we're looking at, he says, "Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts." You know, God not only looks at the content of our prayer, but you know, God looks at the motive behind our prayer. Indeed, God, does He not see our hearts? Does not God see truly why we are asking what we are asking? Anytime we bring a prayer before the Lord that's based on wrong motives, we can be certain that it will fail. We've got to really search out our motives. Why am I praying for this? Why am I desiring this? You know, to use a good illustration, you know, we pray that God would bless and we grow our church. You know, I have to ask myself, why am I praying that? Am I praying that so we can have a large church, so we can be looked at as successful in the eyes of man? Am I praying that so we can have more people giving to have a nicer facility? Yeah, I have to ask myself, why am I praying these things? Or am I praying that God would bless our church, He would grow our church, so we can do more for Him, so give me more of God? And that's something we all have to look at in our prayers. Why am I praying what I am praying? We must be certain that our prayers are for His glory. God, I just want this to happen because I want You to be glorified. You know, indeed, sometimes we pray, and don't take this the wrong way, we ought to pray for the salvation of those that are lost, our loved ones, our friends. But why are you praying that you'll be saved? So to make your life easier? So they won't be so contentious with you? Or is it so God will be glorified and they'll be saved from hell? We've got to check our motives out. We've got to say, hey, why am I praying what I am praying? In 1 Corinthians 10 and verse number 31, the Bible says this. It says, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do what? All," anybody know it? "Do all to the glory of God." God says, whatever you do, whether it's your eating or drinking, that's hard. Next time I'm going to that, I go to Golden Corral. When I go to the Chinese buffet there on State Avenue and 4th, you know. All right, Lord, I'm going up for my fifth plate to Your glory. Right? Lord, I need these crab legs to glorify You. I mean, isn't that what it's saying, though? It's saying that if I eat or drink, I mean, that are those the very basics of our existence, eating and drinking? I mean, you can't get any more basic than that.
Eating, drinking, sleeping, I mean, that's, you know, you look at a baby,
they do all those and more.
God says, the writer here in the book of 1 Corinthians, Paul says, whatever you do, do it to God's glory. Do it so He can be glorified, so people will point to Him and say, man, isn't God good? And indeed, shouldn't our prayers be reflective of that attitude, of that motive? Not saying, oh, God, do this and our motives are wrong. You know what? Our prayers are like praying and they're not getting any further than the ceiling. We ought to examine our motives. We ought to say, am I praying selfishly? Am I praying for my glory? Are my motives pure? Is His kingdom paramount in my thoughts. Number two, we looked at selfishness. Number two, another problem in prayer is idolatry. You say, Pastor, we don't have a problem with idolatry. What do you mean? I mean, that's for them wicked heathens, you know. They worship statues. Well, Pastor, I don't worship a statue this morning. No, you may be right. However, idolatry or an idol, listen to this definition. An idol is anything or anyone that takes God's place in our lives or weakens our dependence upon Him to any degree. An idol, let me say it again, is anything or anyone that, number one, takes God's place in our lives, or number two, lessens our dependence upon Him. We begin to lean more on that idol than we do upon God. God is to have first place, and anything that comes before Him is an idol. Look at Ezekiel chapter 14 and verse number 3. Even in the Old Testament, God is dealing with people who created idols in their heart. And look here, in Ezekiel 14:3, the Bible says, "Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired of at all by them?" God says to Ezekiel, He says, "Preacher, these men, these women, they set up idols in their heart. They have things in their heart that take my place. They love certain things more than they love me." That this morning is an idol. There are some real, very real idols in our society today, aren't they? We watched a little documentary last night, just stumbled upon it, looked at some videos online, and it was a documentary about this fantasy baseball. Basically, it's where these men or women, they create their own little baseball teams. They, you know, every time a player does good, they get points. I remember watching it. And literally, it's not telling me this on his tonight. This guy is at the hospital for the birth of his first orphan. And he is going to miss the delivery because he's on the phone talking about this game. I laugh at a little caption that says, "Right now, 95% of women watching this documentary want to punch this guy in the face." You know, right? Yeah, only 95%, right? Whether it be money, whether it be friends, whether it be entertainment, anything that takes the place. Anything that listen to this quote. Alan Redpath said this. He was a theologian. He said, "Our God, listen now, our God is the person we think most precious, for whom we would make the greatest sacrifice, and who moves our heart with the greatest love. He or it is the person who, if we lost Him, would leave us desolate." Thank you this morning. If we lost God, we would leave you desolate. Or there's something else that would take that place. You know, even we have to be very careful. Our children can become idols. They can take God's place. Our spouses. And yes, we ought to love our spouses and love our children, but God must have first place. And when we turn things around, when we put something ahead of God, it's always a recipe for disaster. It's always a recipe for destruction. God deserves and wants first place. And unless He is first place, guess what? Your prayer life is going to be hindered. If He's not God, if He's not number one in your life, you're not going to have your prayers answered. Your prayers will be hindered. God will not share the glory with another. He's a jealous God. Let me give you the third thing. We looked at selfishness, idolatry. Number three, unforgiveness. Go to Mark, if you would. Mark 11 and verse number 25. Jesus here speaks. Listen to this. Jesus here says this in Mark 11, verse number 25. Jesus says, "And when you stand praying..." What are we supposed to do? Anybody there? "And if you stand praying, what? forgive.
Forgive
if you have aught against any. If we've got a problem with anyone else, when we pray, we ought to forgive.
He said, Pastor, they don't deserve to be forgiven. You're right, Lord, as you know, when Jesus forgave you of your sin. And you know what? You need a better reason to forgive if you don't forgive your prayer. If you have an unforgiving spirit, you say, I don't like that person, I'm angry with them, maybe you go so far as to say, I hate them. You know what? Your prayers will not be answered.
Look at the remainder of this verse. He says, and when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven, what? May forgive you your trespasses.
God says, you want your trespasses forgiven? Forgive others. Forgive others.
The Bible tells us in Ephesians 4, verse 32. Andrew, you know this verse? And be ye one to another, forgiving one another. We better work on that verse, son. Ephesians 4:32, let me read it for you, says this. And be kind, what? One to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. See, God forgives, and He expects His people to be in the forgiving business as well.
Elizabeth, we are to forgive. We are to be a forgiving people. You say, well, Pastor, what if I'm wrong? What if I'm hurt? What if they don't deserve forgiveness? You know what? It doesn't matter. We are to forgive.
We are to forgive. And you know what the Bible says? God says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord.
You say, well, I want to get back to heaven. Let God take care of it. He can take care of it a whole lot better than you can.
Let God take care of it. Let God wreak vengeance upon that person if they truly are wrong. You know what you should do? We should forgive.
Forgive.
If we don't forgive, our prayers will be hindered. If we can't forgive, God's not going to hear. He's not going to answer our prayers. We need to learn to forgive. Forgiving people. Let me give you number four. Selfishness, idolatry, unforgiveness, number four, and this really is the primary hindrance to prayer, unconfessed sin. In our text, our jumping off point here this morning, we looked at Psalm 66 in verse number 18, and we saw David said what? If I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear me.
David says, if I allow sin to be in my heart, if I allow unconfessed sin to be in my life, God will not hear me.
The primary hindrance to prayer, I tell you this morning, is found in the area of unconfessed, unrepented of sin. Even though we have been saved and forgiven, unconfessed sin will come between us and God so fast. If we allow sin to dwell and remain in our hearts and in our lives, God will not hear our prayers. Isaiah 59 and verse number 2. Let me read this verse for you. Verse 1 says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy that it cannot hear. So Isaiah writes and says, the problem, the reason your prayers are not being answered is not because God is weak.
See, there are going to say, well, God's not answering our prayers because He can't. He's not able to. And Isaiah shot back and said, it's not because God can't be short. It's not because He can't hear you.
The problem is, Israelites, is in verse number 2. But your what? Iniquities have separated you and your God. And your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear. I tell you today, in many pulpits, you won't hear preaching on sin. But listen, sin will effectively cut you off from God. If you allow sin to reign in your body and an unconfessed, unrepented of sin to continue, your fellowship will be broken. Yes, this evening or this morning, we are justified by faith.
We're adopted by faith. God has forgiven us.
He's given us a home in heaven. We are made right with Him. However, we continue in fellowship by confessing.
And I'm not saying this morning in some churches, the preacher or the priest will have you come and confess to them your sins. I don't want you to confess your sins to me.
You confess them directly to God. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, Andrew, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we ought to be in the business of confession, of saying, God, I'm wrong, and I ask Your forgiveness. If we don't, we will not, Elizabeth, have our prayers answered. God will not hear us. All sin in our lives must be brought into the light of God's judgment. You may have unconfessed sin this morning that's hindering your relationship with God. I've often found that. I've seen that in my life. Those times in which it just feels like there's a block between me and God. Like I just can't move forward as a Christian. You know what I do? Immediately I go and say, God, what's wrong? What in my life is hindering me? What in my life? What sin? You know what? Every time I've asked God that question, He showed it to me. Every time I ask God, God, what in my life is keeping me from moving on for You? And God will point things out, man. He'll put His finger right on it. Say, right here. And immediately, you just got to get on your knees and say, oh God, forgive me. And you know what the beautiful thing is God is willing and able and ready to forgive. He just waits. He's waiting on us to confess. You might be even committing a sin. You may not even realize it's sin.
You just say, Pastor, I don't know of any sin in my life. But yet it seems like there's something between me and God. When I pray, it doesn't seem like my prayers are being answered.
You know what? Do what I tell you. Do what I've just said. Go to God and say, God, is there something that is keeping me?
Many times when things go badly in my life, I'll pray that very prayer. God, is there something You're trying to get across to me? Is there something You're trying to get across to me? Lord, is there something that's not right?
Because, Father, I know You love me enough to get my attention. And He does. Indeed, unconfessed sin will make the heavens appear to be brass. We need to pray, really, as the psalmist did. Go to Psalm 139 with me, would you? Psalm 139. And let's look at verse number 23 and 24. Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. Listen to what David said, Elizabeth. David the psalmist said this. He said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be what?
Any wicked way.
David prayed, God, oh God, search me, try me. Is there something wicked in my life that I'm not made right? Because God, it's not worth it. I need to be right with You. I need my prayers to be answered. Number five, so we looked at selfishness. We've looked at idolatry. We've looked at unforgiveness. We've looked at unconfessed sin. Number five, we look at problems in the home. In 1 Peter 3 and verse number 7, when there's a problem between the husband and the wife or between occupants in the home, effective prayer will be hindered. 1 Peter 3 and verse 7. This goes for both husbands and wives. Children. Speaks here specifically to the husbands. It says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them, dwell with your wives according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. I want to very quickly this morning just look at some particular features of this verse. Number one, you'll see that this verse is addressed specifically to husbands. You say, well, why? I believe it's because God has placed the husband as responsible before God as the head of the home. Indeed, that's the way that God has laid it out. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23, if you want to look at that. Number two, the Bible tells men to dwell with their wives, to dwell with them. Literally, that means to be aligned with. The husband is to take the time to find out all he can about his wife. Find out what makes her tick. Learn to live with her. Learn to dwell with her. Align yourself with her. Indeed, it's part of loving your mate. Number three, men are told to do this according to knowledge. Literally, with understanding. Now, I know we're missing some of our men this morning. Literally, we're to understand our wives. That's a joke. No, I didn't say that. It can't be done. We joke today how you can't understand your feelings.
No, yes, you can.
You've got to learn not to be selfish. And indeed, it's difficult. It's contrary to what we want to do. It's interesting. The Bible tells us in verse number 7 that we are to give honor to our wives. Honor means to hold in high value. A lot of people have problems with what the apostle says here in verse 7. He says, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. That doesn't refer to a moral or spiritual weakness. It refers to a physical weakness. Indeed, I mean, it's just natural. Men are to be a little stronger than their wives. I know today a lot of women say, well, we can be just as strong as men. Listen, there's nothing wrong with doing the role and being what God has created you to be. I think it's a foolish for us to put our women. Women aren't going to be able to do all the things that men can do.
And I'm glad.
I don't want my wife to be like me.
I'm glad.
You know, I don't want her to be my carbon copy. You know? Indeed, that's how God has created us. Men must realize our wives are something of intense beauty and value. But you know what? That there's to be cared for. And that's what the Bible says, and what a blessing when you see that expressed beautifully. Our husbands, we're to learn to hold our wives up in honor. What does the Bible say if we don't do that? Look what verse 7 says. It says you're to do these things, because if you don't, what's going to happen to your prayer?
They'll be hindered.
Within the home, and I know I'm preaching to the husbands, but the same with the wives. If we're not right with one another, our prayers will be hindered. And it goes back to that idea of forgiveness, that idea of discord always hinders our fellowship with God. Let me give you the sixth thing here. We see number 6. We see what will hinder our prayers? A lack of faith. Go to James chapter 1 this morning. James chapter 1, and we're going to look at verses 5 through 8. You ladies are quite familiar with this passage, having studied through the book of James. James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. The writer here writes, and he says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in what? Faith. Nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Without question, faith is an essential part of prayer. The lack of faith hinders God's ability to move in power. Mark 6 and verse 5 speaks of this. And it says here, it says, and he could dare do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. Why couldn't Jesus do a mighty work in his hometown?
It's because people didn't believe he was God. People didn't believe he could do it. There was no faith. There was a lack of faith.
Jesus says, I can't do anything. Over and over again in the New Testament, when you see Jesus doing great miracles, how many times do you see it?
Because of the first step. They believed he could. So Jesus did. But when we refuse to have faith and believe that God can answer prayer,
that God can do what we're asking Him to do, listen, He's not going to do it. God can do much with little. Think of the loaves and fishes. How many loaves, how many fishes?
5 loaves, 3 fishes, right? Came to Jesus and said, it's all we got to feed 5,000. He said, it's all me. No problem. He took him where he blessed and fed everyone. And had enough so that there were 12 baskets left over at the end of the day. Jesus can do much with little.
If we would just have a little faith. I think that's the problem. At times we don't have any faith. Or we might mouth the words in prayer. We might say, God, do this for me. But in our hearts, we don't believe it. If we would just come to God with just a little faith and say, God, I believe you can. I have some doubts. I'm struggling to believe it, but Lord, I believe you can. I tell you, our doubts and weaknesses, when sowed even with a little faith, can reel in a harvest of glory in our lives.
God honors faith because genuine faith honors Him.
Think of it.
When we have faith in God, doesn't that honor Him? Because when we say, I believe you can do it, what I am saying is I believe God is God. I believe He has the strength.
God has the power.
Even a little faith. So often our prayers are hindered because we lack faith. We don't believe it.
We don't believe it. We may say we believe it, not only with our tongues, but when it comes right down to it,
God knows our heart. God knows what we believe and what we don't. The Bible tells us whatsoever is not of faith is sin. We are to pray in faith. You got something on your heart, on your mind this morning?
You need to come to God and bring it to Him. If you believe it's His will that it be cared for, bring it to Him in faith. Say, God, I believe that you can. Now remember, faith is not just a vain or empty faith. What? Always. Where is our faith based upon? Where do we base our faith upon? Okay. More specifically, where? The Bible, exactly.
Yeah,
I believe God can do these things because His Word says to me. I believe God can meet my need because He says He will. I'm not just praying out of just, I hope so. I'm praying because I know so. God said so.
And when I believe God, when I put my faith in God's Word and I pray in such a way, God will answer your prayers. Part of it is continuing to pray,
continuing to have faith, even when it seems like it's not being answered. That's hard. That's hard.
When you pray for something, you pray and you pray and you pray and you pray and you pray, and you just have, it feels like months.
You're like, I'm done for years. I'm done. I can't do it anymore. God says, I would do it if you would just continue.
Oh, how may we have that faith, that results in effective prayers. Prayer can change the world, but listen, only an unhindered prayer reaches God's ear. We've got to look at our lives. These six things we've looked at: selfishness, unforgiveness, idolatry, unconfessed sin, problems in our home, lack of faith. We've got to look at all these.
We've got to say, are any present in my life? If they are, we need to root them out,
so that our prayers are not hindered. The problems of prayers can be turned into no problems at all, if we'll just get serious about it. With every head bowed and every eye closed, let's just take a moment this morning.